Hello and welcome, everyone. My name is Matthew Spencer, and I'd like to thank you for listening into our weekly message at Christ Church International. We are a gathering of believers living for the dream of Jesus, souls from every nation, one at a time. We love Jesus, we love the Bible, and we love people. Since 1981, we have been sharing the good news of Jesus, and now we're thrilled to be at our new location in downtown Longmont, Colorado, at 527 Main Street. Our key verse for this year is 1 Chronicles 11:9. David's stride became longer, his embrace larger, yes, God of the angel armies was with him. Also, the Lord prophetically spoke to us the first Sunday of the year, saying, "Listen to me, yield to me, take my hand and walk with me, and 2016 will be the year of greater achievements." And now, here is today's message.
Thank you for your gift of Jesus, that you sent your son to die for us, Lord, and we're humbled before you today. We thank you it's not our righteousness, but it's your righteousness, Lord. We thank you for cleansing us of all our sin. Lord, we take your word by faith and we receive it today. And Lord, we just invite you. Lord Jesus, we invite you into the rest of our meeting. Lord, we invite you. I ask that you would walk into the room, Lord, and that you'd lead and guide the rest of this service, Lord, that you'd minister to the sick, Lord. You'd heal and fix the depressed, Lord. Deliver the addicted, Lord. Lord Jesus, we invite you, Lord, to fix us. Fix the broken, Lord. Heal the broken. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to minister to us. In Jesus' name. All right, let's dismiss the kids. You kids have some exciting things to do. Pastor Patty here is going to lead you to your classroom. You guys are going to watch some exciting videos. All right. Praise the Lord. All right, can everybody hear me? Testing. I don't want to shout, but I might. All right. You know, I was kind of being convicted of heart when Sarah was shouting. I was thinking, wow, you know what? If you are uncomfortable with people shouting, you're going to be uncomfortable in heaven, right? Because we're going to be shouting in heaven. And I was thinking, I just want to challenge you men. There's something about a man shouting.
Yeah, come on.
There's something about a man shouting. I don't want to offend anybody, but there's a verse in the Bible that says, that when the children lead a country and when the women lead a country, there's something wrong. So men step up and worship the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
That's true.
I'm not trying to stir you up or anything, but there's something about men leading.
Yeah, come on.
Right? There's something about men being who they're supposed to be. So you know what? In the kingdom of God, Jesus has made us equal. Isn't that awesome?
Yes.
The word says, you know, in Christ Jesus, there's no male, there's no female, there's no Greek or Jew. We're all the same in Christ Jesus. But there's an authority that the men has in this world and in marriage and in the church too. So men, step up. Praise the Lord. Well, I believe the Lord's going to speak through me today. The anointing's on me. And that means that your life can be changed as you're listening to me. So don't listen to Matthew talk today. Don't listen to your brother or your son or your friend or someone younger than you. Listen to the Lord Jesus Christ speaking through me by his Spirit. And I believe the Lord will change you as I begin to speak. Praise the Lord. You know, the word says when we speak, we're supposed to speak as an oracle of God. That means when we speak, we're supposed to speak as if God is speaking through us. And that's so amazing. When we step up to speak, you become a different person if you're speaking through the Holy Spirit. That's what happened throughout the Bible. You know, it said the Spirit of the Lord came upon them. And even Saul, the king, the Spirit of God came upon him, and he started prophesying. And he's like, is Saul one of the prophets? Because he was prophesying. So when you're in the presence of the Lord, you might be surprised. You might start prophesying. What was that? Randy was prophesying the other week.
Wow,
yeah. It's like, whoa, praise the Lord. God's here. Randy's not in the room, I don't think. Where is Randy? There he is. Praise the Lord. Go with it. If the Holy Spirit leads you, prophesy. Praise the Lord. Amen. So I'm just going to start preaching, Dad, if that's fine with you. All right. So today, I want to be a witness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what we're supposed to do. You know, when Judas, we all know who Judas was, he betrayed Jesus. He betrayed Jesus. So they had to find a replacement for Judas. And it says in the book of Acts, first chapter, it says, beginning from the baptism of John to that day when he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. So I believe that's what an apostle is, someone who witnesses to the resurrection. We need to be witnesses of the resurrection of Jesus. You know, it's not enough to just know who Jesus is. It's not enough to just talk about him as just because you read your Bible or you're a Christian. We have to know Jesus. There's so much difference about somebody who has an experience than someone who just has head knowledge, right? What is the quote by Rees Howell? That a man with an experience is not at the mercy of a man who has just knowledge, a theory. So if you know Jesus, you don't have to argue with people about him. And we're talking to people in the streets, in the church, and we just tell them about Jesus. And I love to just tell people, Jesus is a living person. He's alive. Yeah. You can know him. He's a living person. And then, you know what? Theology aside, Jesus is a living person. He's not dead. And that cuts through all theology. Yes, it does. You think about it. You have so many different denominations and churches. But the reality is Jesus is a personality. He's a person. He's a personality. There's things he likes. There's things he doesn't like. Jesus has opinion about everything. So doesn't that changes everything when you start thinking about Jesus as a person. He has an opinion. And that's why it's so important that we read the scripture. You know, the book of John, the first chapter, it reveals to us that Jesus is the Word of God. Right. Jesus has been existent throughout eternity. You know, the Bible says that through all things, all things were created through him. And then there was a point in time where Jesus came to this earth. He was born of a virgin, and he lived a perfect life, died a sinner's death for us. And then he rose again to enforce the covenant. Praise the Lord. So I'm here to tell you that Jesus is alive, and Jesus is the glory of God. Praise the Lord. Jesus isn't dead anymore. You know, in the book of Revelation, he said, I am the living one, I died, but look, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys to death and the grave. Praise the Lord. Today, I want to talk about what happens when Jesus walks in the room. Because I think we just need to talk about Jesus. What happens when Jesus walks in the room? Things change. Everything changes when Jesus walks in the room. So let's talk about this for a minute. We're reading through the Bible this year. And I think I've fallen a day or two behind. But that's fine. When God comes on the scene, everything changes. And we're seeing this in the book of Exodus. Let me just share with you a thought I had recently. And that is that Moses, he lived a privileged life under the Pharaoh. You know the story. He was put in a basket because Pharaoh decided he was going to kill all the young boys. He's put in a basket and put in the river. If any of you want to see a dramatization, I'd recommend The Prince of Egypt, the animated movie. It's really great. He was put in a river, and he flows down the stream, and he was found by, the Pharaoh's daughter, and was adopted. And then the mother actually, this is the favor of God and the blessing of God, she was paid to raise her own son. Yep. Isn't that cool? Right? So she's like, Lord, I might never see him again. He might be eaten by alligators, crocodiles, whatever they have down there. And then it worked out, though, she got paid to raise her own son. So Moses lived a privileged life, but he chose to not yearn for the things of the world. And he had a heart to deliver his people. And so this thought I just want to share with you is Moses lived the majority of his life mundane. And that's an encouraging thought for me, because every person lives a mundane life, because life is, that's just the way it is. You live your life, your daily life. And sometimes we have those moments that are exciting and they're above normal, but we live the mundane. Until the point when God walks in the room, right? The burning bush happens. Moses didn't cause it to happen. He didn't declare. Let me just back up real quick and say, we are a faith church, and we believe in the power of God's word, and we declare the word of God, and we try to do things right. But I want to just tell you something, that God walks in the room. There's nothing you can do to cause that to happen. You know what I'm saying? Because he's a person. And so what I'm trying to say, let me explain, is we have this idea, I think, in charismatic and faith churches that somehow we can get God to do stuff. And yes, I believe that we can, our faith is what attracts God. We can create an atmosphere where God is welcome, where God comes. But the reality is when God shows up, God shows up. You can't make it up. You know, when Jesus was in town, the whole town came to his house and he was healing people. They were healed. You can't make it up. You can't force it to happen. You know, did you guys read the chapter in Exodus where Moses went up on the mountain and it said God was on the mountain? He came down and was on the mountain personally. Like you, I can't make that happen, right? Because God's a person, right? When he shows up, he shows up. So we're talking about Jesus walking in the room. When Jesus walks in the room, what happens? Praise the Lord. And let's not forget, Jesus is alive. He's not dead anymore. He's not dead. He can walk in the room today. He could walk in here right now. That would change everything, wouldn't it? And that's what we desire so badly. We want that, is Jesus showing up and people not saying, hey, you got it together. You know, Matthew, you have become a great leader and you know how to get people here. No, we want Jesus to walk in the room. Because you can be as good in your strength as possible, but what worth is it if God is not there? Right? We have to have the presence of the Lord to show up. Lord Jesus, we ask that you would manifest yourself to us. Thank you, Lord. So when Jesus walks in the room, everything changes. So let's look right quick at Luke 10. I'd like to share this with you. This is a personal revelation that I had when I was in Nepal. And it was, have you ever had a moment when a verse just jumps off the page at you and you just know God spoke that to you? It was just so real. So I was driving. I want to share this to you because it's real to me. I was driving to West Nepal, far West Nepal, a very remote area. It took us 3 days to get back from driving all day from this far point in the west back to Kathmandu. So 3 days, the roads are terrible, but we're driving and it gives you time to pray and to think.
You better pray, right?
You better pray in Nepal. And travel is tiring, so you just rest in the Lord and trust him and he speaks to you. And so in Luke chapter 10, this jumped off the page. It says in verse 1, after these things the Lord appointed 70 others also, and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. And that just jumped off to me, where he himself was about to go. And I was like, oh, Lord, I'm going before you. And that was such an awesome privilege. Jesus was telling me, I am going into Western Nepal, and you're going before me. And I was just like, whoa. I was like, such an honor. But also just the reality to me that he himself was going there, that was his priority. That was just so awesome. And it also just highlights to me that Jesus is still doing things. And yes, theologically, we can say, you know what? We believe Jesus, his position is at the right hand of the Father right now. He's in heaven. And positionally, we understand the Holy Spirit has been sent to us. You know, Jesus said, it's better. He said, it's better that I go so that the Holy Spirit can come. He said, I'll send to you a comforter. It's so important that we receive the Holy Spirit. You know, we have to be hungry to receive the Holy Spirit into our lives. So Jesus said, it's better that I go and I'll send a comforter. So that's theologically, you know, what we believe, is the Holy Spirit's here with us now. And also, I'm just realizing, and you know, Jesus is going. Jesus is doing. He's got a plan. I don't know how to figure all that out. But I just want to tell you that Jesus is on the move. Praise the Lord.
So what happens when Jesus walks in the room? Let's look at Mark chapter 1, verse 29. So Jesus comes to Peter's house, and it says, "And now as soon as they had come out of the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick with a fever, and they told him about her at once." I looked up this word "at once." It says immediately. That's the first thing Jesus discovered when he walked in. They said, "My mother's sick." And then he said, "So he came and took her by the hand, lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she served them." So this is what happens when Jesus walks into your room. Sickness has to leave, right? Sickness has to leave. Praise the Lord. So when Jesus walks into the room, sickness goes. Praise the Lord. You know, Jesus is the living one. The one of the translations in the book of Revelation, he said, "I am the living one." You know what? Jesus was crucified. He couldn't stay dead because he's the living one. Right? You can't keep someone dead who is life himself. Jesus is life himself. So Jesus walks in the room and he drives out the sickness. It leaves her immediately. And you know what the proof in the pudding is? It says, "And she served them." Sometimes we have to do things by faith. You know, we learn to live by faith. You might not feel like going to church. You might not feel like getting up and serving. But sometimes we have to take an action, take a step, and just walk into the light we have, you know, and act like we're healed. Act like, you know, you're successful. Act like, you know, just we have to do that sometimes. But when Jesus walks in the room, everything changes. Everything changes. Let me just share this with you. I've been listening to T.L. Osborne, his messages. He was a miracle evangelist, and he spoke, he had crusades in like 70 nations. Hundreds of thousands of people's lives were changed. He wrote a big book on all the documented miracles that happen. And you know what? I think a problem with charismatic and faith churches is we believe in faith, but we don't believe in the miracle part. Isn't that silly? I mean, our Catholic brothers believe in miracles, and somehow we believe in the miracle part, but we're so caught up in the faith element that we forget to expect the miracle to happen, right? So let's change that. The gospel is a gospel of demonstration, right? It was always about tell the things you see and hear, right? The shepherds who came to Jesus, you know, the Christmas story, they saw and heard angels. It says, "Hark, you know, look's what's happening. I saw this. I got to go tell it." That's why, let me just challenge you. Perhaps you're not sharing your faith because you haven't experienced anything. If you've experienced something, you want to tell something. My brothers and sisters in this room who are sharing, we've experienced something. We have to tell people, even when we don't feel like it. And then we step into faith and we begin to share. We begin to tell. So guys, let's experience something. I want you to know, if you have not experienced something, if you have not experienced Jesus, you can experience Jesus. Yeah, Jesus doesn't want us to just live our lives by blind faith. And I think that's kind of what we think. We're like, "Oh, I just have to live my life by blind faith and just hope that I get a miracle, hope God answers my prayers." No, there's a covenant here. We have a covenant with God. Did you guys forget about your covenant? The covenant, I was reading, let me share this with you. I was reading the "I wills" in the Bible. "I wills." This is probably a whole message by itself. God says, "I will" so many times. Do you not believe those words? He said, "I will." What does that mean? I will do it. It's going to happen. God said, "I will. I will. I will. I will. I will. I will. I will." Praise the Lord. You guys, we got a covenant with God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And that covenant goes beyond what you do. It does. If you really have faith in the covenant, have faith in Jesus, even if you make mistakes, God's still going to keep his end of the covenant right. He's going to make sure it happens. Praise the Lord. All right. Thank you, Jesus. That's what happened with Abraham. He made mistakes. He was even deceptive. And I'm not saying you should sin. I heard a brother say, "I'm not giving you license to sin by preaching grace," because you already have a license. You already had a license to sin. You know, we preach grace, but that doesn't mean we sin. That means we have more power to not sin and to work harder for the kingdom. All right.
So, Jesus walks in the room. We're still in Mark chapter 1. Let's go to verse, see here. 32. It says, "At evening, when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed." So I was just thinking about this. People have to work, right? So they work all day, and they're like, hey, I can't wait to go see Jesus because he's in town, right?
So everybody's working. They're taking care of themselves. And right when they get off the work, when the clock is, 5 o'clock, we're going to go see Jesus.
So it says the whole city was gathered together at the door. Have you ever kind of wondered how they got home, right? It's dark. How they get home? Candles, right? "Then he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him." So it says the whole city. When Jesus shows up, the whole city will come and see him. So when Jesus shows up, I just want to tell you guys, we don't need a mega church building. We don't need anything bigger than this building, because when Jesus shows up, the whole city will show up.
Praise
the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. The whole city will show up and gather to Jesus. So that's what happens when Jesus walks in the room. There's magnetism because stuff is happening, right? All right, let's just think about in Matthew chapter 8. Let's go there real quick. Thank you, Lord. Faith is rising today. Faith is rising. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You know, I was telling Dad, I think I have a gift of exhortation, okay? So my job is to get your faith going, right? We got to get our faith awake. I was telling you guys last time I preached? Our faith has to be awake. If your faith is sleeping, it's not working. Wake your faith up. I'd love to have a picture of, for the media team or whatever. You guys get a picture of me with some guy sleeping with his feet out of the blanket and wake your faith up, right? You're sleeping. Wake your faith up.
Get it working. Without faith, we cannot please God. We have to make sure we're pleasing God with using our faith.
So Matthew chapter 8, and in verse 28, this is the story of the two demon-possessed men. "When he had come to the other side, to the country of Gergesenes, there met him two demon-possessed men coming out of the tombs, exceedingly fierce, so that no one could pass that way. And suddenly they cried out, saying, 'What have we to do with you, Jesus, you Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time?' Now a good way off from them there was a herd of many swine feeding. So the demons begged him, saying, 'If you cast us out, permit us to go away into the herd of swine.' And he said to them, 'Go.'" I think it's so cool that they asked him what they said. They told him what they wanted to do because they were scared of Jesus. And Jesus just said, "Go." I think we're so scared of demons. You guys scared of demons? Have you ever had dreams where you're just like, can't talk? Have you ever had that?
Yeah.
Has anybody had that?
Yeah.
Well, I say you're free of that in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. But there's a demon manifesting and you can't speak, right? So it's not just me that's had those dreams. Okay. So you guys are free in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So when the moment comes, you're going to tell it what to do. Like when that tornado was touching down in our backyard practically, I was speaking to it, and God had given me multiple dreams before about tornadoes. You got to speak to things in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. So the devil wants to lie to you and tell you that you're too afraid to even talk, but that's not true. The devil wants to shut your mouth up. He wants to keep you from speaking to your problems, speaking to the demonic things happening. So this is so great because the demons are like, they're begging Jesus, please, 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 please don't torment us, don't send us into, And then they told them what they wanted to do. Jesus said, "Go." So when they had come out, they went into the herd of swine, and suddenly the whole herd of swine ran violently down the steep place into the sea and perished in the water. Then those who kept them fled, and they went away into the city, told everything, including what had happened to the demon-possessed men. So this is what happens when Jesus shows up. People get free from demons. Praise the Lord. I'm not trying to make everything spiritual, everything supernatural, but in America we do the opposite. We make everything medical. There's so many diseases that are demonic. Right? There's so many emotional problems that are demonic. There's so many things that happen that are demonic.
You know, this past week, I was hit with a few things, emotional things. They're demonic that are happening.
We got to discern, though, you know, what's going on. And this is what happens when Jesus walks to the room. Verse 34, and behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus.
The whole city came out to meet Jesus.
And what do they say? And when they saw him, they begged him to depart from the region.
Please, leave us. We like our pigs or whatever.
So that's what happens when Jesus walks in the room. People are free.
Right. Isn't that great? Something that you've been wrestling with for decades, maybe. Jesus wants to fix in a moment. Just like that. Fixed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Dad was talking about our brains need to be healed. Don't you know, we think about something and it just becomes something like a rut. How many of you guys ever seen the Roman roads, you know, in like Europe, the pictures of them where they're just these grooves, deep grooves in the concrete because they ran the chariots. That's what happens with our brain and our thinking patterns is they just over and over and over and over. And you think, you know, I'm a loser. I can't do this. This is impossible. Never happened. You got those ruts in your brain. You need to be healed because it's not true. Jesus wants to heal you. He wants to fix your brain. Praise the Lord. And a moment where you're healed, things change. In just a moment. That's what happens when Jesus walks in the room. Praise the Lord. What about the girl who was dead? You guys know the story of Jairus. You know the story of Jairus where the crowd was following Jesus because they couldn't wait to see what was going to happen. They were just like, what is this guy going to do? We're completely scared to death of him. But we're really excited and we want to watch and see because somebody's going to get healed. Something's going to happen. And like, oh my gosh, I hope he doesn't point me out and just, you know, prophesy to me or whatever. So that's what happens when Jesus is walking through the city and everybody's trying to touch him, you know. And so they're pushing against him, trying to get just see him. You know, think of that one, the short man who climbed up in the tree just to see Jesus. And Jesus is like, you, I know your name and I'm going to be at your house for dinner, you know. So that's what that's the kind of thing that Jesus did. Right? He had, you know, in the natural, Jesus had no idea who this guy's name was. He had no idea where he was. He never met him, probably. I don't know. And so he sees him in the tree. He calls him by his name. He says, I'm having dinner at your house. So people are scared of Jesus because they have no idea what's going to happen. Right? And so they're following Jesus. And the woman with the issue of blood, she's like, she'd been saying to herself over and over, if I can just touch him, I will be healed. If I can just touch Jesus, I hear about Jesus, I hear about miracles. If I can just touch him with my faith, I'll be healed. And what have we said before? All these people are at the right time, right place, but were they in the right faith frame of mind? She was. Maybe you're that person today. Maybe the room is full of people, but you're the person that said, I'm going to get my answer today because I'm going to touch Jesus, and I'm going to be healed. I'm going to be delivered. I'm going to be fixed, whatever it is. And so they're actually going to Jairus' house because she's sick. His daughter is sick. Right? And so he comes to Jesus, Jairus, who's like a ruler of the synagogue, I think, and he says, my daughter is sick, come. And in the middle of it, you know, Jesus is detained by this woman. And then what happens is they come and tell him, your daughter died, she's dead. And so Jesus, what did he say? He said, fear not, only believe. Believe. And this man could have got upset at this woman who just got healed. He could have got upset, but he didn't. He believed. Praise the Lord. So we have to believe. So thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So what happens when Jesus walks in the room? So in Luke chapter 8, verse 50, I just said it says, but when Jesus heard it, he answered him and saying, do not be afraid, only believe, and she will be made well. So Jesus was speaking what was going to happen. He's using his faith, calling those things that are not as though they are. She'll be healed. She'll be well. When he came into the house, he permitted no one to go in except Peter, James, and John, and the father and mother of the girl. Now all went and mourned for her, but he said, do not weep, she is not dead, but sleeping. And they ridiculed Jesus, knowing that she was dead. But he put them all outside, took her by the hand, called, saying, little girl, arise. Then her spirit returned. She rose immediately
and he commanded that she be given something to eat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them to tell no one what had happened. So what happens when Jesus walks in the room? Death leaves. Right? Death leaves. That's, I think, the thing that most people are the very most afraid of is death. You think about it. Death in every area of your life. If you're afraid of failure, you're afraid of death. If you're afraid of sickness, you're afraid of death. If you're afraid of theft, you're afraid of death. That's all death, because death has come into this world. But life drives out death, and Jesus is life. He's the living one. Praise the Lord. Jesus walked in the room, and death left. Praise the Lord. He also removed unbelief. Get out of here, unbelief. Get out of here. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. So that's what happens when Jesus walks in. So guys, we have to get our expectation, and we need to cry out to the Lord that he would show up in power. Show up personally.
Lord, show up in power.
Thank you, Lord. You know, in Exodus 3:8, it says, "So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of Egyptians." God himself said, "I have come down." And if God comes down, he's going to fix it, right? If God comes down, he's going to fix the problem. And also in Exodus, this has just been speaking to me. It says, just the phrase, strength of hand. Exodus 13:16, "It shall be as a sign on your hand and as a frontlet between your eyes, for by strength of hand the Lord brought us out of Egypt." So if God is going to roll up his sleeves and do something with his hand, it's going to happen. I mean, what would happen? Imagine if God, by the strength of his hand, met you financially. What if the Lord, by the strength of his hand, met us as a church financially? What if the Lord, by the strength of his hand, met you physically and healed your body by the strength of his hand? We believe God's powerful, right? We believe he can do all things. What if God uses the strength of his hand to deliver you out of your problem? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well, Lord, we cry to you right now. We ask, Lord, that you'd manifest yourself in this city, Lord, in our church, in our families. Lord, we're asking for a burning bush moment, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So I want to encourage you with that. You might feel like I'm living a mundane life today. But in a moment, everything can change. I think of Joseph, right? He was in the prison 1 minute, and then the next minute, he was pretty much the king of Egypt. Second in command. The ruler over everything. In one moment, everything can change for you. And that's the lie of the devil, that it's going to stay the same. Everything's going to continue as it always has been, and it's never going to change. But don't listen to that lie, because in a moment, God walks in your room, Jesus walks in your room, and he fixes it. In a moment, that's what happens when Jesus walks in the room. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, there's something in my heart, and I think it's by the Spirit, so I just want to declare it, because I just want to just speak it out. And I was praying a while back, and I got the word that rose up in my heart. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And the word was epicenter. And I was just asking, Lord, would you make this building, this church, an epicenter for your glory? Yeah, so I was just, that word is so powerful, like an epicenter. God, would you make this church, this ministry, an epicenter for the glory of God? And it's in my heart. You guys ever get kind of a sense in your heart of the future? I think the Lord gives some things in your hearts. That's what vision is. We're talking about vision boards. The Lord puts something in your heart. It's not going to necessarily be exactly the way you see it, but he puts it there because he's showing you something in the future. Well, I just see we've been declaring the glory of God. What does the word say? That the knowledge of the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the water covers the sea. And in the Old Testament, what the Israelites experienced, God was there. Like, why did God choose Moses? Why did he choose him? It says, there's one verse that's very profound. It says, like, this happened all the time. It says that when God would meet with Moses, the cloud would descend on the tabernacle, and every man would stand outside his tent and watch. Like, if God is there, they're like, whoa.
They're like, Jesus is here, right? Every man would stand at his tent and see the cloud descend on the tabernacle, and Moses would go in. And it says Moses talked with God, right, as a man talks with his friend. Not in mystery, not in dreams, not in hunches, not in gut feelings. He talked to him clearly, plainly. And the thing is God has not stopped doing that. Yes, he's given us the word of God so we can be grounded. But I believe God he's going to manifest himself again in these end times in a way that is just profound and unprecedented. So this thought that is in my heart about epicenter is I just sense, you know, in the same way that God manifested in the Old Testament, we've heard of Azusa Street. You know, it was a little barn, practically, where the cloud of God would show up. And I was just reading some stories that you know how I said they told Jesus immediately that, oh, my mother's sick. Well, that's what happened. Somebody walk in with a growth on their head, and they immediately come to that woman and just start praying for her, and she's delivered, is healed, visibly. Like the miracles that happened, we believe in miracles, right?
Yes, we do.
I'm not crazy, right?
No.
We believe in miracles, right? And so that's what happened at this place. And so what if God would turn this place into an epicenter?
Jesus.
Praise the Lord. You know, God's given us a vision. You're wondering what the number 400 is. God has given us a vision to grow to a church of 400. But what if thousands of people came in and out of these doors? I mean, what happens if thousands of people? Yeah, praise the Lord. Lord, do it. I mean, I was talking to my friend Dwayne and Lori a couple weeks ago, and I was just saying, what if all of you would be required every week to have a two-hour service? Because there's so many people in and out of these doors. Praise the Lord. Well, this is either fantasy or is this something that God could do? He could do this. And the cool thing about Azusa Street, it wasn't just about the pastor. It wasn't just about one person. Everybody was laying hands on the sick, and they were being healed. So, I've kind of had the thought, oh, Lord Jesus, I'm not sure if I'm ready for miracles because maybe my character isn't right. You know what I'm saying? And I'm sure that's a good thing to think. It's good to be humble. You know, Moses was the meekest man on earth. So we got to stay meek. But if God is showing up, it's not you. If somebody's healed while we're praising the Lord, it wasn't me.
That's right.
And I believe God wants to do that. He wants to work through our character while it's happening. I believe he wants to work through us while it's happening and fixing us so that we can forgive and repent while it's happening. You know, get on our face and repent while it's happening. So I just wanted to release that thought, that word. Lord, would you make this place an epicenter of your glory?
Yeah.
And I just sense that perhaps throughout the world, God wants to begin to do epicenters across the world. And just to wrap this up, you know, Jesus is coming soon. And if that's what the apostles said 2,000 years ago, how much sooner is he coming? You know, the Bible says, as the days of Noah was, so will the days be before the Son of Man comes. You know, and these are the days of Noah. There's every sin possible. Your neighbor, you have no idea what he's watching on YouTube. You have no idea. But we know from the parable of the tares and the wheat, you know, the story where the master, he had a field and he had servants, and they said that the enemy came in and put a bunch of weeds in his wheat field. And they said, well, should we take out the weeds? And the master, symbolizing the Lord, he said, no, let them grow together, the wheat and the tare. So God is letting wickedness and righteousness grow full fruit. So what you're not hearing about as much is the righteousness that's happening in this world. And I want to encourage the teens and the youth. So teens, if you're a teenager, if you're 19 to 13, listen to me. You're living in a time that is unprecedented in sin. Right? That's the reality of your life. But the grace of God is abounding to you more than the sin. Okay? Because you look at the older people in the room. Okay? They did not grow up with YouTube. I didn't grow up with YouTube. But you are being just blasted with sin constantly. So you have to choose what you're going to put your eyes on. You have to choose to put your eyes on the Word of God every day. That's why it's so important to read your Bible. You have to put it in your heart. Otherwise, what's going to come out of your heart is just filth that you see on Facebook or YouTube. So the grace of God that's on us in this moment has to be stronger than the sin and wickedness of this world. And that's why we have to have Jesus walk in the room. Jesus has to walk in the room. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I also want to declare something else. I was writing. Thank you, Lord. I want to also declare something that I just started seeing in prayer is I saw that this church, this building, is an orchard. It's an orchard of people. Yeah. And you remember what we used to say a long time ago? We had actually it up on the back of our stage on Nelson Road. It said, free, filled, and fruitful. Yeah. Well, I just started declaring this ground filled, full, and fruitful in Jesus' name. Yeah. Praise the Lord. There's a verse that goes with this. I just had this kind of not part of my message, but it's, I believe, revelation that the Lord was showing me, and I just want to share it. There's a verse in Proverbs that says that the field of a lazy man lies fallow. And that challenges me, man. What land in my life, you might not own land, but there's things that are in your life that you are maybe lying, letting lie fallow because of laziness. What is it? And I mean, if you look at, you know, the Roost over here, which I would recommend their macaroni burger, by the way. Anyway, I guess it's not a regular menu item. But the Roost is, it's land that's being used.
Yeah.
It's producing. So whether it's actual, like, farmland or an orchard, apple orchard, orange orchard, or restaurant, McDonald's, it's a land that's being used to produce. Yeah. And this is land that is being used to be fruitful.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So, but the thing about an orchard is you have to be planted.
Yeah. That's true.
Right? Some of you might be planted. Some of you are not planted. So we really encourage you to see where the Lord has called you. We got every believer has to hear from that for themselves. But in order to begin to produce fruit, you have to be planted. And every tree is a different type of tree. You know, some trees might take 5 years to even just start producing fruit. So if you're like, oh my gosh, I've got no fruit, well, stay planted. Stay planted, stay watered, and that fruit that will come. So I just saw that this is a building full of trees. There's a verse about that. I don't remember, but we're planted in the house of the Lord. And just really think about that. One day in the courts of the Lord is better than 1,000 elsewhere. Where would you rather be than planted in the courts of the Lord? We need to be planted in the house of the Lord. It's you know, when dad gets up here, and when I get up here, when mom gets up here, and we encourage you, he's like, get plugged in, you do something, take a hold of your ministry. And we got to do that. But the reason is you need to be planted so that you can be fruitful.
Yes.
You can be fruitful. And I believe that we're going to begin to prosper. Praise the Lord. So I say this is a fruitful ground. I say, this ground is filled, it's full, it's fruitful, and it's free in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There's a verse here. It says, you will bring them in and plant them in the mountain of your inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which you have made for your own dwelling, the sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands have established. I don't have a reference for that. Maybe it's in Exodus. But the Lord wants to bring you and plant you. And he wants to give you an inheritance in the mountain of your inheritance. Praise the Lord. There's a place for us, for all of us. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, it's time for us to experience the glory of the Lord. It's time for us to expect answers to prayer. It's time for us to expect miracles. Look for them. Expect them. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I want to be that man. I want to be Moses, you know? I mean, I'm not going to be Moses because he was the lawgiver. But why does God choose people? You think about that. Why did God choose Moses? Why did God choose Enoch? Why did God choose David? Why did God choose Job or Noah? Why did he choose these people? I think it kind of goes both ways. You know, David was a man after God's own heart. We got to be that person. You have to be after God's own heart. And, you know, David made so many mistakes. Abraham made mistakes, but they had heart after the Lord. And also there's the God factor. He's a person, and he chooses people. And he chose you. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So today, I just want to witness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the glory of God. Jesus walks in the room, the glory walks in the room. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I just want to invite the Lord Jesus to do what he needs to do in your lives right now. So if there's a need in your heart, just think about it and ask the Lord to fix that need. And I'm just going to pray right now that the Lord would manifest himself to us. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, that's one thing. I forgot this point. I want to say Jesus is still visiting people. And I want to say it's biblical. I had this idea. I was talking about theologically the Holy Spirit's here. Jesus is in heaven. But Jesus, in the New Testament, after the Holy Spirit came, Jesus appeared to Saul. And he said, "Why are you persecuting me?" And Saul became Paul. He repented of his sin. I also want to say that Jesus appeared to St. John in Revelation 1. In John 14:21, it says, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." Jesus wants to manifest himself to you. In Revelation 3, it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him, and I am dying with him, and he with me." Jesus is still manifesting himself to people. Jesus is still showing up. Praise the Lord. Lord, you are welcome here. Let's just right now pray. Father, I just right now, I come before you in the name of Jesus, and I ask that Jesus would manifest himself to us, Lord. We love you and we keep your commandments. Lord Jesus, I thank you for showing up here in downtown Longmont, Lord, showing up in Christ Church International, showing up in the Spencer family, showing up in my brothers and sisters' families. Father, we're asking that Jesus would show up. He demonstrate himself strong. We're asking for that. Lord, all the needs, Lord, that are unspoken right now, I ask that you'd meet them according to your riches and glory. Lord, we're expecting miracles. Lord, we're no longer just not thinking they're going to happen and just knowing that we're going to have to live the rest of our life by faith. Lord, we thank you that we get to preach a gospel of the things we have seen and heard. And Lord, we thank you for breaking out in our midst miracles, Lord, signs and wonders. I pray that the sick would be healed. I pray that the deaf would hear, the dumb would speak. I pray, Lord, that even the maimed would be made whole. Lord, we're asking, Lord, that you would do things beyond our ability. Lord, I ask that your financial kingdom ability would consume our debts, consume our inabilities, Lord. Lord, I pray that your strength would consume our fears, Lord, and our inabilities, Lord. We're asking for this in the name of Jesus. Jesus, you're welcome to show up in our room. You're welcome to show up, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Amen. I think we ought to just keep talking about Jesus. Because he's going to show up. And it's going to scare you. In a good way. You know, the angels always said, "Fear not." Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Christ Church International's weekly message. We declare that the things that God said he would do, now he is doing it. If you are ever in the Longmont area, we would love for you to join us for our Sunday gathering. We meet every Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. in the heart of Longmont's Creative District in downtown. The address is 527 Main Street. That's near the intersection of 6th Avenue and Highway 287, which is Main Street in downtown Longmont. Are you on Facebook? Connect with us. Our page is facebook.com/Christ Church International. Our website is www.christchurchinternational.org. Our email is contact@innercourt.com. And our mailing address is P.O. Box 2125, Longmont, Colorado 80502. Thanks for listening, and we hope to hear from you soon.